This is our love and its fruits study, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13 and these different fruits of love, as we might call them, the different aspects of what it means to be a loving person. And as I've said before, we're basing this on Jonathan Edwards' book, Charity and Its Fruits. I've put a link to the free ebook of this book in the description, as I've done every week. And I want to just give one extra plug for that book, for this book, this week. As I've been studying it, one of the things that I've appreciated about it the most is how organized and clearly put together Edwards' study is. And I would really recommend having download that ebook and have it handy for yourself as a resource. It's a great reference work because every chapter is divided up into headings with or into points and subpoints, and it's very clearly laid out, sometimes even with numbers or Roman numerals in there. And so if you ever need to go look and you're like, what does long suffering mean, or what does it mean to keep no record of wrongs? You can look back at it's a great resource as a reference to go and just you can get very quickly get a sense of what Edwards says in the chapter, even if you don't read the whole thing. So that's just one extra plug for the book if you're interested in having it on hand for yourself for studying it later. It is a little dense for study, but I do recommend it to you. So this week we're continuing on and we're looking at what it means to be kind. 1 Corinthians 13 says love is kind. And we've started our way through each of these qualities. We looked at long suffering or patience last time, and this week we're looking at kindness. So as you think about kindness, what it means to be kind, think for a moment about what comes to mind. Does being kind mean being nice? Does it include being nice? Does it include other things? Are those I think sometimes we associate being kind with being nice. We also sometimes hear Christians say, well, Christians aren't supposed to be nice all the time. Jesus wasn't nice all the time. He wasn't nice to the Pharisees sometimes. He wasn't nice when he cleared out the when he cleared out the money changers at the temple. And I do agree we aren't supposed to be nice all the time. But I am concerned that in Christian circles when we say that being kind means we don't have to be nice all the time, that sometimes we're using that as an excuse to not be kind. And in a tradition that's generally more dogmatic about things and and we stand very firmly on the Word of God and the law of God, I think there are times when we excuse our harshness or a lack of kindness, maybe even sort of a disregard for other people's well-being, under the guise of saying, well, we're just being firm, we're standing strong in the truth of God's word. So I absolutely think we need to stand firm, and we don't have to be nice all the time. But I would encourage you, if you're tempted to always say, well, we don't always have to be nice, that maybe today consider what does it really mean to be kind? And are there ways maybe that we need to grow in kindness? Being kind doesn't mean you ignore justice. And certainly as a parent or as a teacher or as a manager, you have to be firm at times, spare the rod and spoil the child. But again, as parents or as teachers or as managers, do we ever use that excuse of being firm to excuse not actually being kind and looking out for the good of others? So we're going to look today at what kindness really means, and hopefully you'll see that it is so much more than being nice, and that it truly is part of the character of Christ. It's what Christ has done for us. He is truly kind to us. So following the same format we've been doing, I'm going to read the passage here, 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read the whole chapter so we can really write this word on our hearts. And then following Edwards' outline here, I'm going to explain what kindness is. And under that, we'll look at what kindness is, to whom we should show kindness, and how we show kindness. That's all kind of all under the idea of explaining kindness. And then we'll look at how love motivates kindness, and then some applications. So read the passage, explain kindness in general terms, and then the direct connection with love, and then some applications that Edwards provides for us. So here's 1 Corinthians 13. Again, if you have your Bibles handy, it'd be great to have it open in front of you during the study. And if you have a notebook or something with you, you can take some notes along with this as well. But let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together. This is the word of God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And of course, our focus is going to be there on verse 4, that love is patient and kind. We looked at patient last week and looking at what it means to be kind this week. And Edwards essentially defines kindness as doing good to others freely. Kindness is to do good to others freely. And that's really the thesis. He always has a thesis, the main idea he's wanting to teach in each chapter. And his thesis, worded a little differently for today, says that love, or truly Christian spirit, will dispose us to do good to others freely. That love will, if we truly love God and if we truly love the people around us, it will dispose us, it will make us want to do good to others freely. So let's look at what that really looks like. What is kindness look like? And Edwards breaks this down into the act of kindness, what we do when we're kind, the objects of the act, the people that we are kind to, and also the manner in which we do good. So the way that we do good. So another way to think about this is, what do we do when we're kind? Who do we do it to? And how should we be going about doing that kindness? So first of all, he talks about what kindness really is. What is the act of kindness? And again, it's doing good to others. And Edwards breaks this down into two different types of good that we do for others. We do good, first of all, for people's souls. You have the opportunity in your life to do things that are good for other people's souls, for their spiritual well-being. And he says this is the most excellent way of doing good for someone. That the body this body's breaking down, and the good you may do for someone's body will only last so long, but spiritual good is eternal. And so the ways we do this is when we instruct people who are ignorant of the truth, and when we counsel or warn people when they're headed in a sinful or destructive direction, he also says we set a good example. We need to set a good example for those around us. That one of the roles that God's given us in each other's lives as Christians is to set an example for the believers around us. And Edwards argues that all the other ways of teaching or reproving or trying to help someone, all the other ways of trying to help someone spiritually will only work if you're setting a good example at the same time. And so we have our Christian lives, the way we live our lives at the same time as talking to people is critical for what we say to have any weight or to have any benefit to the people that we're helping. And so in some cases, helping someone spiritually means trying to help them turn to Christ for the very first time. This is what we talked about this morning in the sermon, that the idea that we have the opportunity by God's grace and his plan to help people come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's decided to use us in our feeble attempts to bring people to saving faith. And so Daniel 12, verse 3, talks about the glory of getting to be the people who help turn people away from sin. And Daniel 12, verse 3 says, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And if you have the opportunity to turn someone to help by God's grace, again, not in your power, but by God's grace, to turn someone away from sin, to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that is such a privilege, and it's a wonderful way that we can be a help to others. And then, of course, after someone is saved in our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, we encourage and establish our fellow saints all the time. So you can do spiritual good for others, but we also do good for others in the outward things of life, in physical, daily life, kind of outward things, kindness and goodness for this world, for this life. And really obvious cases of this are when someone's hungry, when someone's thirsty, when someone's a stranger in a new place, when someone needs clothing or is sick or is in prison. These are the kinds of things the scripture tells us we need to be helping with. And it's part of kindness, is doing good to others. In Matthew 25, when Jesus is talking to those at the final judgment, he says, when he's talking to his sheep, to those who are his, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." So these are things we should be engaged in, things we should be doing. It's helping people who are hungry, helping people who are lonely, helping people who are in prison. And there are many other ways that we help people in this life. You can help someone, promote someone's good name, someone's reputation, without lying or anything, but you can help promote someone's good name. And Edwards says, really, any kindness means doing anything that may truly add to a person's comfort or happiness in the world, whether by word or deed. And then he says, by doing that, by truly trying to provide comfort and help to people in this world, we're in a much better place to be helping them spiritually as well. They're much more likely to listen to you. If you've shown them outward kindness, physical kindness, they'll be far more likely to listen to the spiritual help that you have to bring through Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit of what kindness is. Kindness is doing good to others, both spiritually and physically. And so then the question is, well, to whom should we be kind? To whom should we be doing this good? Because in our sinful nature, we always find ways to say, well, that kind of person, I really shouldn't have to be kind. I really don't have to be good to that person. They've done this or that, or they're this kind of a person. But as Jesus teaches in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we're commanded to do good to our neighbor. And our neighbor really is anyone and everyone who is connected with us or close to us in any way. And so Edwards goes through and talks about these sort of all of these categories where you have opposites. He says you have to do kindness both to the good and to the bad. Matthew 5:45 says that talks about how the Father makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And in Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So we have to do good to all people, whether they're good or bad, whether they're saved or unsaved. And Edwards says, you will interact with some really evil people in your life. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, but there will be people who are evil in a particularly intense way that you're going to have to interact with. And Scripture is saying that if we're going to follow in Christ's footsteps, if we're going to be like him, we do good to the good and to the bad. And we also, in a similar vein, we have to do good to both to friends and to enemies. We do have a special responsibility to friends, to people who are close to us. The bonds of friendship are a good thing, and we should be there for our friends and help each other out. But we're also supposed to be there and provide and care for our enemies. In Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Romans 12 is another place. I won't read it all here, but Romans 12, 17 to 21 talks about living peaceably with all and doing good to those, not repaying evil for evil, but doing good to those who hurt you, to overcome evil with good. And similar thing in 1 Peter 3, verse 9. So if you're wrestling with this and you won't believe it the first time or the second time, there's a third verse there. 1 Peter 3, verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. And friends, this is so hard. When you have someone who's actively trying to hurt you or destroy you, to return good for evil is so difficult. But as we'll see here, it's part of the character of Christ. It's what he did for us when we were evil. And also, Edwards says we have to do good to those who are thankful and to those who are unthankful, to those who are ungrateful. Jesus says this specifically in Luke 6:35, he says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. God is kind to the ungrateful. And I think this is something that that I hear quite a bit, and that I know I feel in my own heart, that is, if someone is unthankful and is ungrateful and never seems to ever say a word of thanks for the good that you do for them, you sort of feel like after a while, like, well, they're not going to say thank you. They're not grateful for what I'm doing. Why should I keep doing these things for them? Enough is enough. This goes back to our patience thing last week. If they're not going to say thank you, then I'm not going to do it anymore for them. And friends, that's not what Jesus has done for us. Where would we be if Jesus stopped being kind to us when we, after the 47,000th time, we didn't say thanks for the good things that he'd done for us. And that's what Edwards says. He says, people who refuse to give things to unthankful people do not sufficiently look at Christ. They're not looking at what Christ has done for us well enough. And that's convicting. That's convicting for me. So that's to whom we should show kindness. Edwards goes on to talk about the manner of doing good or doing kindness. How should we show kindness? And he says this is actually borrowing from earlier in the chapter, but he says there are three different ways that you show kindness to people. You give things to them. Luke 6:38 is an example of that. We do things for them. And 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 9 talks about that. And then we can suffer things for them. We can give them things, we can do things for them, or we can suffer for them. In Galatians 6, verse 2 talks about bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ, bearing that burden, suffering along with someone. So that's part of how we show kindness. We give things, we do things, we suffer with people. But then Edwards goes on to talk about how it's very important for us not to, that it's not true kindness if we're doing it out of a mercenary spirit. The way he puts it, but if we're doing it for the reward that we're going to get in return, that true kindness is not for the sake of reward. In Luke 6:35, that I just read, it talks about doing good and lending, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And then later on in Luke 14, and we've looked at this passage a couple times recently, I think, or I've referenced it a couple times recently. But it talks about inviting people to a feast, and Jesus says, "Invite." This is Luke 14. Invite those who can't repay you, who can't pay you back. Don't invite the people who can pay you back, because you'll get your reward from them. Invite people who can't pay you back, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So true kindness is not doing it just because we're going to get something in return. It's pretty easy to be nice to people that you know are going to do really nice, good things for you in return. But but true kindness, following your Christ's example, is being kind to people who will not do it back to you. We also need to do good and be kind with, Edward says, cheerfully and heartily and with real goodwill to the one that we benefit, that we want to help. And so in a sort of a polite society, it's very easy to do things externally that are kind or polite, that are expected of you. But deep down inside, you don't want to do it. You're grumbling about it. You're resenting the fact that you have to help someone or be kind. But 1 Peter 4, verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And then Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 says, this is talking about helping a fellow believer. It says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake." And so this is one where you can't fabricate this. You can't manufacture this inside yourself to say, well, if I don't really want to do good for this person, I'm just going to muster up that wanting to do good inside of me. So this idea has made me realize how much I need to rely more and more on the Holy Spirit and cry out to the Lord in prayer and say, I can't do this. I'm not a naturally kind person. I don't love this person. I don't want to help them. Help me not to do it just begrudgingly because I know I have to, but to do it truly because I want to. Give me the desire to do good for this person. We also need to, as we show kindness, the way we show this kindness is supposed to be open-hearted and open-handed. We're supposed to be bountiful in the way that we give to others. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 talks about abounding in every good work. 2 Corinthians, and then three verses later in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." And Deuteronomy 15, 8, "But you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need." We're to be free in what we give to others, of our time and of our resources. We're to be generous. That's true kindness, is to give bountifully and not be holding back and always trying to give just the bare minimum. And so so that's what kindness is. That's what we should do. That's what kindness is. It's to whom we should show kindness, and which is everyone, and then how we should show kindness, that we show that kindness generously and not just out of compulsion. So then what's the connection between that kindness that we've been looking at from Scripture and love? How does love motivate kindness? And this might be one of the ones that's a little more obvious than some of the other ones that we're looking at here. But in what way does love make us want to do good for others? And the reality is that the best evidence of true love is actually doing something about it, right? It's one thing to say you love someone, but the way that love actually naturally works out is in being kind to them and doing good for them, to seek what's good for them. And to help explain this, Edwards goes into, he talks about two different kinds of love. He talks about the kind of love that means taking delight in seeing the other person experience good things. To see delighting in the other person having good things and experiencing good. And there's the other kind of love that delights in enjoying the thing itself, or the beauty of the thing itself. So this is the difference between saying, you know, I love lemonade. You know, I love lemonade because I delight in what is good about the lemonade. I really delight in enjoying that myself, as opposed to someone loving and caring for an elderly family member or an infant or someone who really needs help. That there may be some inherent qualities of that person that you do love to enjoy, but that's a love of enjoying, delighting in seeing that person be benefited and seeing that person experience good things. And I don't know if I'm explaining this very well, but these two different kinds of love, there's the love that really enjoys the thing for itself, and there's the other love that delights in seeing that person be benefited, seeing that person experience good things. And Edwards says that, I think he's right, that when we talk about Christian love and loving each other, caring for each other, it's that second kind of love. It's the love that is benevolent, is kind, is enjoying that person experiencing good. That's really the heart of Christian love. That we do certainly begin within the church family and in our friends. We start to enjoy and delight in who they are, and enjoy that for ourselves. But that is a kind of love. But really, when we talk about Christian love and loving each other, we're really primarily talking about wanting them to experience good and delighting in them, delighting in what's good for them. And so kindness is just such a natural outflowing of true Christian love. If I truly love this person, I want what's best for this person, then I'm going to do what is best for this person as far as I can understand it. So again, that's part of where niceness is not all it is, because sometimes you have to do what's good for them even if it's not what they would enjoy. But there is so much that's sort of nice, so that there's a kindness, there's a gentleness, and a loving way that you go about things with a person when you truly have Christian love for that person. And 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." It's one thing to say, "I love you, brother." You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's one thing to say that, but that love doesn't mean much if you're not really serving and helping and seeking what's best for that person. And that's really ultimately what kindness is. James 2, when he's talking about faith without works, James says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" Love, true love, bears this fruit of kindness, of doing what's best for someone. So as we think about applying this then, how we should apply this in our lives, this definitely exhorts us or encourages us to freely do good to others, to be more kind in the way that we go about living our lives. And under this section, Edwards gives a few reasons for why we should freely do good to others. It is a great honor that we have, that we get to be a blessing to other people. Think about how in Genesis 12, when Abraham was first talked with God, when God first called out Abraham to be his covenant people, one of the great blessings on Abraham was that he would be a blessing to other people. And so it's a great honor for us to get to be a blessing to other people. We should see it that way. When God makes us instruments of doing good, when he uses us to do good in other people's lives, Edward says he makes us like the sun and the moon and the stars that shed light on people. That God gives us the opportunity to shed the light of his goodness on people when we show kindness. And that's a privilege that we have. I'm not sure why this is under the application section for Edwards, but one of the motivations for this that we've been talking about this whole time is that we should really consider how kind God has been to us, how kind Christ has been to us. That at the end of the day, this is the motivation for why we should be kind, is the great kindness that God has shown to us. That his mercies are new every morning, as Lamentations 3:23 says. That he gave his only begotten son, his well-beloved son, to die for us. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And we could spend forever just talking about all the ways that God has been kind to us. That he's delivered us from sin, he's justified us, he's sanctified us, he makes us kings and priests in the kingdom of God. He gives us an inheritance that's incorruptible. There's no kindness that we could show that could ever outdo the kindness that God has done for us, that could ever live up to the kindness that God has shown us. And that really has to be the starting point of our kindness. But the Bible also motivates us to be kind by telling us what rewards are promised to those who do good freely to others, to the rewards that are promised to those who are kind. In Psalm 18, verse 25, it says, "With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless." God promises mercy to those who are merciful. And we've talked about this a fair amount recently. We don't want to get the cart before the horse, that it's not that we earn God's favor, but he does reward. He does reward the good that we do in this life. Jesus told us it's better to, it's more blessed to give than to receive, as Paul tells us in Acts 20, verse 35. And in Proverbs 19, verse 17, that we looked at recently, back in the, when we were looking at finances a few weeks ago, Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." And so we shouldn't just be doing things for the in a mercenary way, in a way that we're going to get paid for it. But at the same time, it is good to want fruits for your labor and want reward for the good that you've done. And we won't receive all of that in this life. And our hope is that we are laying up treasures in heaven. And there really is true and great reward we're looking forward to, which is so important and motivating for us when in the daily kindness that you might be showing that's not being returned, or that's not being, you're not being thanked for it. We're called to a lifetime of that. And it's great when people thank us, but in the end, that's not what our hope is. Our hope is that the Lord sees and that he will show kindness. He will reward us when we go to be with him. So I would encourage you to stop and think for yourself today. Think about yourself and your reputation with the people around you, the way you interact with people around you, and ask yourself, you know, are you known for your kindness? Are you known for the way that you do good to others around you? And if you struggle with that, if you struggle with being a kind person, I would encourage you to look at your heart for love for these people. It really has to start with loving these people, and that makes it extremely hard, because it's hard to just muster up love in yourself. But in another way, it makes it simpler if you realize, you know what, I just really need to learn to love this person more. Lord, please help me love this person. And even praying that specifically, maybe it's for someone in your family, or someone at your job, or someone in your church, or someone in your neighborhood, or whoever it is, someone that you have a really hard time being kind to, pray about it. Say, Lord, I know you were kind to me when I was like this to you. Please help me to love this person. Help me to have that same kind of love. And then I would also encourage you to, as we think about this kindness, to value kindness in others. And as we look at these qualities of love, to watch for this fruit of the Spirit in the people around you, and to appreciate it, and even to commend each other for it in ways that aren't building each other up to be proud, but just to appreciate the fact to appreciate the kindness that you do see in others, and say, I just want to give glory to God for the way he's making you so kind to the people around you. That's something that's worth more, as we talked a few weeks ago about, it's worth more than the greatest, most gifted person. It's greater than the greatest sacrifices we might make, or the greatest, those other aspects of the Christian life, that if we don't have love with it, then it's really not worth anything. That somebody might be really gifted, but if they're not kind, but if they don't have this love, it's not worth as much. So make sure you value the people in your life who are kind for that kindness. And then I would also encourage you this week to help you in your kindness, to really spend some time. You could even sit down and write a list of this, of all the ways that God has shown kindness to you. And no matter how difficult life is for you right now, and you may be going through some deep suffering, it can be so important to stop and say, Lord, thank you for this and this and this that you've given me, for the breath that I'm breathing, for the clothes on my back, for whatever it is that God has been so kind to provide for you. And most of all, of course, the salvation he's given you through Jesus Christ. But think about what Jesus went through to bless you in that way. And think through some of these things. Take some time to meditate on this kindness. And then as I said, then you can think about the people you're having a hard time being kind to, and ask the Lord to help you love them and be kind to them. So this is a this is a high calling. This is part of being like Christ. And I want to say I'm so thankful for the kindness that you as a congregation have shown me and my family, and for all the different ways that each of you have that I see this fruit of the Spirit in each of you. But we all still have room to grow, and we need to be more like Christ. And I encourage you to seek to be more kind and to do good freely to everyone in your life. So that's what I had planned to talk about this afternoon, this evening. So if you have any questions, you're always welcome to drop those in the comments along the way. Or if you're not on Facebook, you can drop them in a text if you want. I've got my phone here and I can look at that. So I don't see any questions right now, which is fine. But I will go ahead and formulate your questions. I know there's a bit of a lag if you have them, and I will pray for us here to close. And if there aren't any by the time I'm done, we'll go ahead and wrap up. And I've done some answering your questions by text and stuff after the video, if that's helpful to you. So let's pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your kindness to us, that we were in total rebellion against you. There was nothing lovable about us, but you loved us. You sent your Son to die for us. And you show us kindness in so many little ways in our daily lives, and sustaining us by the power of your Spirit, and giving us the food we eat and the clothes we wear, and giving us brothers and sisters in Christ who are part of our life and are part of the church community with us. And Lord, I pray that you would make us more kind ourselves, that we would be so aware and knowledgeable of your kindness to us that it would flow out of us in great love for our neighbor, for our coworkers, for our family members, for our neighbors next door, for the people in our communities, and that we would be known for kindness, that we would be known for really seeking the good of others, to trying to do what's best for other people. Lord, this is difficult, and pray that you would convict us where we haven't been kind, and strengthen us by your Spirit to make us more kind. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.